All right, Brother Ted, would you share with us where Oliver is at this time? What's taking place?
Garrett has just asked me to bring the latest information on Oliver, and just for the sake of those who wouldn't know too much about Oliver, he's my brother, comes from a farm here way back. About 1950, he was starting to get active in the hearing the Lord's voice to go somewhere. It turned out that it was Vietnam. They were there for 15 years, and when the evacuation came, the communists took over. They left on one of the last planes and decided that they would go to Indonesia, and Java in particular, and to the town of Semarang, or Semarang, I was told the other day is correct pronunciation. Now, they, as I gather from his letters, he hasn't said so in just quite plain language, but I think they have learned the language at this particular time. That is what's the island group? Indonesian language. And they're about ready. But now, they've always felt that the call of God was to a tribe. And they want to still continue to minister to a tribe. Now, you can fit in, apparently, over there into a church situation without too much trouble, but they don't feel called of the Lord to do that. They want to get out and minister to some backwoods tribe where they can learn the language and where they can lead them to the Lord, set up a church in that area. Much the same as our brother from the Philippines was mentioning to us. But the language, of course, the country, the language of the country has to be learned first, as every missionary tells us, and then after that the tribe. Now, to find a tribe, that hasn't been easy. They, a while back, visited Borneo rather, and up through Kalimantan and through that area, and thought they might have been onto something there, but that failed. Then they had the idea that they might go to Timor, the one that's been recently taken over by Indonesia, but at the last call they were refused permission to go to this island. Perhaps that's not to be wondered at because of the political situation there at the present time. Well, they didn't get there. At the moment, there's a possibility in a place called, or in the island, what we knew when we went to school as the Celebes, but now called Sulawesi. But latest letter from Oliver was that there's a possibility also of another mission going in there. And they're just looking still for this place that they're trusting the Lord will open up to them. Now, things are not easy for them at the moment. They have all this hanging over their head, living in the tropics, and latest and last is this allergy which Oliver and the little girl Jeanette, or their oldest girl now, has, which causes hay fever. And this is a real plague to him day and night. And much as they've looked to the Lord regarding this, it hasn't pleased the Lord to rid him of it. We sent over some, the name of some tablets, and also some tablets recently, to see if this might help. But they're right at the crossroads at the moment as to knowing what the Lord's will is in this thing. He wonders even if they shouldn't return home, perhaps for 12 months, get leave of absence from the mission and come back here and let the doctors in this land have a go at sorting it out and see what it is. It's not very easy to just isolate these wogs and then prescribe the treatment for them. But that's all in the melting pot just at the moment, and they need our prayers, they request our prayers that they might know the Lord's mind in regard to this. Latest letter from him too was outlining just a little bit of the news leakages from Vietnam. Now, some of you have read the Reader's Digest account of things in Cambodia, and they're not good there. Well, in fact, that's an exaggeration even to use that word, but there's something terrible. And it always does something to me to even, well, read those things or even seek to recount them. But news leaked through that the leader, the principal of the language school in the Bible school rather in Da Nang, where they were situated, was starved to death by the communists, and he points out that this is one of the ways that the communists are using at the present time so that they can't be accused of a bloodbath. They're starving the people to death, and not just ones and twos, but literally thousands of them, not just those even caught up with religion as it were, but anybody that just falls foul of them for the slightest reason whatsoever. And of course the Christians must fall foul of them, because they don't just add up to the the communist teaching. That's just something of what the Christians there are facing, and they truly need our prayers in this day. And you know, I find it so easy, yes, the communists have taken over, it's a year or two ago now, just to sort of slip into an apathy that our brother Gerard has spoken about this afternoon in regard to missionary work, and not find myself praying for them. I know some of the ones by name that Oliver and Joyce led to the Lord, don't know whether they're alive or not, but it doesn't excuse me for taking up their cause before the throne of God every day and committing them to the Lord if they are alive. And for those that we know are alive there, we mightn't know them by name, but they need our prayers that they might be born up and that they might be kept faithful, come what may, even death itself.
Now, Norm Edwards, I don't know you, brother. Come and tell me who you are. We haven't met before until we came here. Are you an Australian Fair Dinkum?
That's correct. I'm a Fair Dinkum one.
Queenslander?
But a foreigner to yourself, perhaps.
Queenslander?
No, a Victorian.
Unfortunately. I know there are only two people that exist, two types. One that Queenslanders down would like to be. how long have you been on the field, brother? First of all, where have you been working?
Well, first I must share that I am a full-time representative for the mission and not a return missionary.
I see.
Sorry that I hadn't informed you more of that, but Dorothy and I were called into the work 3 years ago. My work has been working in boys' homes for 18 years amongst delinquent boys when God spoke to us. We believe it was preparation.
And what's the mission society that you represent?
The Oriental Missionary Society is whom I represent, but there has been confusion, and of course confusion to myself too, because when I answer the telephone, I end up by saying hello, and not saying the Oriental Missionary Society, or OMS International as it is now known today. You have known of the Oriental Missionary Society that was started by Charles Cowman and Letty Cowman in 1901 in Japan, in which, as we understand, started the modern missionary movement of faith and training nationals. Well, this is the work that God spoke to us, Dorothy and myself, 3 years ago to join, and it's known today as OMS International. It was started in Australia in 1946. You will remember John Allison, I guess, many of you people, because John Allison travelled these roads quite a lot and in many ways is well known throughout Australia and particularly in Queensland as I move around. But in the other area in which my name was used and called, and I was also known and spoken by somebody else, as the South Pacific Evangelical Fellowship. And so to clarify that and to just put that straight and to put in your minds just what has happened here and what is taking place. 9 years ago, some national people wrote to OMS International. The letter went through our office, John Allison, and was forwarded to America. And I don't know if it was 9 years ago. I guess it was 9 years ago. Dr. Jewell was, as now president of OMS International America, wrote back to the Solomons and said to them, the Australian board will be forming shortly and we will speak to them and ask them to help you in your work, etc. This went on for 9 years. And at that very time, 9 years ago, a little group met in the jungle and prayed for Dr. Jewell to give permission for workers to come and help. You see, they'd picked up a magazine somewhere and had read about the work and they were determined. Now, that was God, nothing to do with anybody else. They were determined and they prayed for 9 years, this group of people, in the jungles, in the bush, and asked for God to send. Now, 12 months ago, it came to us and passed through my office, two letters from this part, and we were asked again, repeatedly asked to go. So an investigation was made 12 months ago, and much prayer and heart concern and heartbreak. And it was decided and understood as the board met and voted that OMS International should enter the Solomon Islands, the New Hebrides and Fiji. You see, in that land, as many of you have seen on the television, I'm not sure, but I did, and it was on a second time on the national station, The Worship of Sharks. Now, probably many of you have seen this. But one of the things that struck me was, and how it was encroaching upon our own community, and yet it's so close to our country that the commentator said, what a pity the missionaries are messing up the national image and the things that are happening in the nation. Now that made me cry and made me weep. Because you and I know what Satan is and what he has and what he's done to us. I was bound for many years. And thank God I was released. But then I didn't know the fullness of the Spirit and I was a carnal Christian for 20 years. And I thank God, though I learned it, and I wouldn't have ever been in a mission society if I never knew what the power of the Holy Spirit was in a man's life. Worshippers send a shark to kill their enemy, a person on another island. It's unbelievable, isn't it? And this is what is happening. And today the gospel is needed there. Well, the board at Christmas time last year, after 12 months deliberation, voted and approved that we should move into that area to assist the work and to assist these people, as they were the workers, not we. And so we moved into that area, and so there has come about an amalgamation with another mission. And so in Fiji, a small mission that's been there for many years, called the South Pacific Evangelical Fellowship, met with us and we with them, and shared and talked about the work. And so it was decided that the name of the OMS International Australia Board would be in future known as the South Pacific Evangelical Fellowship. And so that's why you have just a conflict here in names that have been spoken from this pulpit, because it hasn't been fully known abroad. There is in this magazine, and I would like you to take one as you leave at the rear there. I would like you to take one so that you might read all about what's there. Next copy will be the Tree of Life, as they call it, or the setup of the mission and all about it and the background and everything. It will be a fuller one that you will be able to read in more detail. But there is quite a bit of material still in this one that is a preliminary one that it's got out. This magazine is out twice a month. But God has called us just to be available to Him. Now, we were called to be in the area of Jakarta, Indonesia. My wife and I, our youngest son, was wonderfully entered into the university, got a cadetship over many hundreds of other boys. And God honoured and helped us. And at that time, we wished to take a holiday. And I say to you, and I say to every mission society and you people that are here, don't ever give up sending people material. Please don't do it. My president tries to say this, well, we're getting no response, don't send the material. I say, I forbid it not to go. For 20 years, we have received the material. And it was there that I discovered that there was a trip overseas with this mission. It's international. It was involving helping on the field part-time, as many missions do and as we do. But we never got there. Somehow or other, God spoke to us and said, and I'd wanted many years to get out of delinquency work because God is operating and working there, but the government forbid us to speak about Jesus Christ because of the two conflicting religions, and we had closed doors. We saw men come to Christ, people come to Christ, praise the Lord, but the children who wanted Jesus and who needed Him and who cry out today, I've had people even share this weekend about these young people. I cry each time I think about them because they're that lonely and they have no love and they're anti-social, and that's why, because they've had no love. But Jesus is the only answer in a children's home. Anyway, we were told by the Lord. I'd often wanted to get out of this area, but would never because God didn't permit it. And the Lord said that you're finished. But I was going on a holiday, Lord. My son has gone to university. My wife can no longer say I need to stay home with the children and to care for them. And I've got a right there. But God said no. And we were challenged to come into the work. And so it has led us not to Jakarta, Indonesia, but back here to Australia. I can understand the nationals, praise the Lord, but it is very challenging. I can tell you I am not jealous of any person at all or any man who stands to speak, because I am so excited about my own life as a Christian and as serving Jesus Christ. As a Christian serving Jesus Christ in the mission field here in Australia, as I heard last night spoken, and somebody said, as we were shared there last night about Spain, that they would like to evangelise Australia. Well, that is our job, isn't it? And praise God, we're seeing great things happen. But we're also challenging people to pray, to give and to go. And I don't mean, and I've heard that word used today, young people. And I mean people 50 and over and in between. Because God has a right to your life. And this is what he said to me. And so at that age, when I was 29 and we inquired about Bible college training, etc., we were told we were too old. And at the age of 50, God has spoken to my wife and spoken to me, both individually, and we have become a partnership serving Jesus Christ throughout Australia. Somebody said, where's home? Well, one day when I was driving, Dorothy said to you something about going home, or I mentioned going home, and Dorothy said, where's that? I said, there. As we have no abiding place, but thank God that we've entered into the drug and occult area, been amongst the drug addicts, and in the areas, we're free to move, you see, and be available and speak in these areas and challenge them. And we know a young drug addict that I've interviewed that wants to go out in the mission field in his own area, Mwillimbah. You may not know much about that area, but it's the devil's territory. But then where isn't? But I said he may have to go back to college, and well, he will have to, but I said you may have to become a square with his long hair down here. And he said, I didn't put any conditions on God. And then I talked and chatted with him. I talked and stayed there in this hippie area. And at 4 o'clock in the morning I said, well, you know, you mightn't be allowed to come back here. The authorities that are training you might say, no, that's not the place. And again he gave me the right answer. He said, like I said before, Norm, I didn't place any conditions upon God. Isn't that fantastic? One of these people whom we think are far from the people that we can reach. But it's just fantastic. And on the fields I can tell you, and I haven't the time, but I can tell you just briefly of the gangs of men just in these 2 or 3 months since we started work in the New Hebrides. The incorrigibles, the police didn't even want them in prison. They wrecked the prisons that much. Sitting now under the ministry and reading the Bible. And so affecting the people that the police inspector has joined the church. Isn't that fantastic? That's a national worker at work, isn't it? And that's what we're about, training the nationals. And there, thank God, we're in the national work here. The South Pacific Evangelical Fellowship covers, of course, Cook, Fiji, the Niue Islands and New Zealand. And, of course, we will be joining that with them. But to leave you with the thought, as my 10 minutes are up, I would like to challenge you with the one thought that we have the greatest opportunity in Australia, in the world. Did you know the Spanish called this land in back nearly 500 years when they named it, when they discovered it? Have you ever found that out? They called it the Great South Land of the Holy Ghost. Haven't we got a terrific task? Isn't it fantastic? Because I believe Australia will reach the world. Australia will affect the world. We can get into the markets. We can be meet with people more so than any other race in the world. And I praise God about that, and I'm excited. And I want to leave this verse with you. May the God of hope fill you with great joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.